Alrighty. Okay, so we're doing this further at the bottom of Ayin Beis on Aleph. Okay, so in lo damim, right. So these two different ways, right? The two ways to read what the Zarach HaShemesh Olav is saying, right? So if you look at Rashi, does Rashi help out here at all? Okay, fine. So let's read the Rashi. So the first one, Tanu Rabbanan, Ein lo damim, im Zarach HaShemesh Olav. Okay. V'chi HaShemesh Olav avad Zarcha, does the sun only shine on him? Elen Baruchah, Adavar Kishemesh, Ein lo shalom im Tahageh. So you're sure, like this, like the day, that he's gonna, that he doesn't have peace with you. He's gonna kill you. Kill him, otherwise not. So Rashi says, "Ein lo damim v'samach." Here, "Ein lo damim zarcha." Dabar k'shemesh. Ein lo shalom imcha hargev. Ein lo damim v'samach leim zarcha shemesh. Right afterwards, it says, "Ein zarcha shemesh." Darshin smuchim. Ema sema to largo. When is it permitted to kill him? Bizman she'Hashem is zarcha alav. When the sun shines on him, kolomar shabar lecha shelahar gecha ba. It's clear to you that he's going to kill you. Im tamo kenegdo. If you stand up against him, al misafek al targeo. But in doubt, you don't kill him. Mean that you have to assess. I mean, from Rashi, it doesn't mean that you assess whether you are saying another thing, whatever. But it doesn't mean that you have to assess whether you're gonna stand up to him. That's not what you're assessing. You're assessing. If you were to stand up to him, would he kill you? That's what I'm saying. If you're certain, not you're certain that you're going to stand up. We assume you're going to stand up. But you have to be certain that he is willing to kill you if you stand up. And if you're certain that he's that kind of a guy, that he's coming to kill you, coming ready to kill you, if you're going to stand up to him, then you kill him. But if you can't ascertain that with certainty, then you can't. Okay, this is the first brisa, which is right, the first brisa. This is the halacha. If you only have one brisa, this would be the halacha, right? So let's before we go further, so let's try to define this on its own. Okay, we only have this far. So let me ask you a question. Let me just ask a question, stop. According to this first way, right? Let's say I know for sure. I know. It's borrowed to me like the sun. Clear to me. Clear as day that so-and-so guy is going to come to kill me. He's going to chase after me. I see he's planning it, he's sitting there in the basement, whatever, planning the thing, and I know he's going to do it. So what's the halacha? Could I treat him as a rodef? No, right? Even if it's borrowed to me, right? Even if it's clear to me. Why? Because he didn't do it yet. Didn't begin yet, right? And I am certain. So who cares if you're certain? Right? Who cares if you're certain? Very nice that you're certain, but your certainty isn't worth anything. It does not recognize. So what then is it would be the exercise of cost of teaching you then? Who cares if you're certain? What does that do? I mean, if it didn't begin, it didn't begin. If it begun, then it begun. If it didn't begin, then who cares if you're certain? Yeah, okay. Okay, so maybe just putting these things together. I guess like the point Jeremy just said is that if you knew, for instance, that case where he said, you know a guy is about to kill you. You know he's going to do that. So he's not a rodef yet. But you know he's going to. But, I mean, it's true. Maybe you'd say it should be. Fine, you know he's going to. But that's not the system. You can't just say, because I figured out that this is what's going to happen. I mean, the rodef is a rodef. Is he doing rodef? He's doing rodef. But just if he's in planning, he's just planning. And the fact that you may know with absolute certainty it's going to happen doesn't have any halachic any validity. He's going to, he already started doing it in his head, whatever, you could say all the stuff, and it might be true on a psychological level, but it doesn't register halachically. It's a subjective thing. It's an objective line. If he's doing rodef, he's a rodef. If he's not doing rodef, he's not a rodef. But now, what the Torah is doing in Machteras is it's defining, it's like setting up an objective profile of a guy who's hasn't quite started chasing, but he's involved in chasing. Which means is like it's saying is that in Geneva, the Torah is saying is that in Geneva there's two types of ganavs. Okay, they're just a regular thief, and then there's a thief who's a killing thief, a murdering thief. And the guy is that it's recognized that this is like an objective profile of a thief. Doesn't mean everyone in the world is this, but this is like, it's not like, the idea is if I know a guy is going to kill me, that's just like I know because of a million factors that I assess that I know he's going to do it. But that's already, that can't be registered halachically. But the Torah is saying there is a profile of a killing and a murderous thief. That's a profile, a psychological profile of a type of a thief. Now, there's also a regular thief. What it's saying is that there is a guy who's like that. And therefore, what Torah is just laying down, that there is such a guy, and if you know, as there are two profiles of thieves. If you know with certainty that he's that guy, then that's the din of Rodef. Because normally Rodef, in theory, really could have been Rodef prior, but there's nothing, until he starts doing it, so there's no, it can't register halachically. But here what the Torah is positing in Machteres is it's saying there is a type of a Rodef which is objective, which could start before he actually starts. And that's when he's involved in Geneva. Geneva lends itself to having this Gana who's involved in killing. And the Geneva is the beginning of killing. But there's also another kind, so you have to know. That's the thing. Baruch HaShemesh is saying, don't think it means every Ganav who breaks in is that. It's just setting down a profile, which if it's Baruch HaShemesh, if you know that this is what's going to happen, that he's this kind of guy, so then it takes on the objective certainty as a regular Rodef, like a Rodef is running after you. You know he's running after you. This guy, you know he's involved in that kind of a Ganeva. But if you don't know, then you don't know. Then maybe he's the other kind of guy. And maybe he's just a regular thief. Then you have no right to set up a situation of Rodef. So this is how, if you only have the first price, so this is what they would have learned the Machteres is doing. It's setting up like a new instance of Rodef. And how it works, whether it actually does it by saying the road of the chase actually begun, or just by giving him an Ein L'dam, and because of that, I think that's, again, that's a question of how halachically it sets itself up, how the Torah accomplishes it. You know what I mean? But what the Torah, the idea is that the Torah is recognizing this as a guy who's going to kill. You know?
Account for these.
Vimlav. Oh no, so Vimlav is the saying is, according to this way, as you'd say, is there's two profiles of a Ganav. So a regular, one profile is a regular Ganav, and then there's a murderous Ganav. So it says if you know that he's a murderous Ganav, then he's basically, he's like, oh, if you kill him. But if you don't know that, then you can't have no right to posit that he's that. Then he's just.
Both of these guys in the Machteres?
Yeah, no, it's within breaking in. I'm sorry, there's two kinds of Machteres, not just two kinds of thieves. Of course there's two kinds of thieves, but I mean, there are two kinds of guys who break in. According to this way, it's saying some guys who break in are really just regular thieves. They're just breaking in to steal your money. Other guys, what are they going to do if you stand up against them? I don't know, they'll give in or whatever. I'm not sure what you'll do. You'll run away. And then there's another kind of a thief who's really ready, you know, he's ready to kill. So two kinds of machtereses. There's two profiles of machteres. All the Torah is doing is it's saying is that it's saying is like just a person may have in their own mind, the model of a guy who you know for sure is going to kill. But that's just like it's a case-by-case thing. Here, it's like saying there is like a profile of a guy who's going to kill, and this is an objectively recognized profile. But you have to know that he fits that profile, that he's a Machteres guy who's going to kill. So if it's Baruch HaShem said he's that kind of Machteres, fine. If not, then he's a regular Machteres guy. And then he's just a thief, and then you can't kill him.
So it's not just
because
of the Machteres.
No. It's not saying that Machteres automatically means he's a killer. It's not saying that. I mean, I know that's maybe the next shot is in that framework. But this is not saying that. It's not saying that Machteres equals killing. It's not true. Machteres is a kind of a thief. But Machteres is a situation which lends itself to that psychology. It's an objective situation which lends itself to that psychology. It doesn't mean that every single guy who is in that situation is that guy, but it's like a concrete situation in which there is such a profile, points to that profile. But there's another profile, there's another type of Machteres also. Right, now if you learn in Baruch in Zorach HaShem HaShalav on the first part, that's what the first part is saying is that you have a right to kill him. Machteres Ein Lo Damim. Im Zorach HaShem HaShalav. It means, don't think it means every Machteres is that guy. Im Machteres lends itself to that, and Im Zorach HaShem HaShalav, if you know that he's that, then it's like qualifying the Machteres as an Ein Lo Damim. Machteres is an Ein Lo Damim, provided that you know that he's this kind of Machteres. There's an Machteres, but you'll say, but if you know anyways. Yeah, but if you know anyways, you need to have an objectified category. You can't just come up with your own theories. But the Torah is recognizing this as a type of a persona, of a Ganav. But you have to know that he's that guy. Okay. Good. So that's the first Brisa. So if you only have one Brisa, so you say. Okay, now let's go to the second Brisa. Okay, I think this is a good way to do contradictions, by the way. Because when you have a contradiction, I remember this from, maybe it was back from Manazar Manchir, I think he showed us this. But like, a contradiction is a kind of a thing, which means, it's like, the problem in a contradiction is that they contradict. So it means that either svara in its own right is fine. It's not saying is the svara doesn't make any sense. It's not saying that. It's saying it's a contradiction. It's a contradiction means either svara in its own right is good, and it's a fine svara. The only problem is a contradiction, so you have to resolve it. So like we showed is like when you have a contradiction, you should, before you try to answer how do you resolve the contradiction, you have to define the contradiction. Halacha A tells you svara A. Halacha B tells you svara B. Okay, now that's the problem. The problem is not just on a factual level, but it's on a conceptual level. Is the concept A the right concept, or is concept B the right concept? So we define that. So if you only had Brisa 1, that's Brisa 1 tells you that idea. Brisa 2 tells you a different idea, right? So what's Brisa 2? It says, Tani Yudach, M'zarach Hashem HaShalom Nigmarash, Damim La. Right? If the sun shines in him, then he has Damim. He does have life. If you know for sure that he has peace with you, don't kill him. Otherwise, kill him. Rashi. When are you not allowed to kill him? When does he have damim? At the time where the sun shines on him, it's clear to you like day that he has compassion on you. And even if you stand up to save their money, he's not going to kill you. But if not, that you're not sure, so then you should kill him. Kashi na adadi. So the two brises are kasha, because they're opposite implications. So what's the svara? If you only had this idea, what would you say?
Good way to say it is, like the question is on the question again. Forget about the first way. According to this way, the question would be is that if you're telling me the first, if you just didn't have mzarcha shem hashalav, so then you'd say that it's telling you machteres equals killing, right? This is clear, definitely. Now Zarach HaShemesh tells you, oh, hold on, if you're sure that he's not gonna, then don't. So then what do you mean? So now apparently it's possible that he's not gonna. So now it's a doubt. So then how do you just assume that he's gonna do it? Like what's the, to look at it like this, maybe ask the question is, if you didn't have Zarach HaShemesh Alav, what would have been the idea? And then what's Zarach HaShemesh Alav teaching you? You know what I mean? Apparently it's qualifying the Machteres and saying, definite, but if you know for sure, you know, like what's the new idea which that's telling you? Okay. So I think I'm thinking like what Matt was saying. You'll tell me, I think so. That let's say if you just had Ein L'damim, so what it'd be telling you is that a Machteres has a status of Ein L'damim. Period. Okay, why? Oh yeah, because I'll tell you why, because the Rebbe's whole story. Because we know that he's probably going to break in, and probably the guy's going to stand up, and he's willing to kill him, and they know that whole story. But that's just like the story behind it. But the halacha is, it's halacha, that a machteres, the Torah defines a machteres, and domim. The why is the why, but that's the bottom line. Okay? That's the bottom line. Okay, if you only had that puzzle, that's what you'd say. Okay? Fine. And the sense, Rav is giving good sense to it, because most guys, 99% of the guys, let's say, whatever, that's what they do. And that's the reason why the Torah defined them as that. But it comes along in Zarcha Hashem HaShalav, which tells you the pshat of Zarcha Hashem, means if you know that he's not going to do it, then you can't kill him. So what's it saying? It's saying that when the Torah told you that a machteres as a status main l'damim, that's the Torah is there's a sense to it. It's not just like a tama davar. It's not just the reason, philosophical reason, but it's because the Torah is positing like a chazaka, an assumption about human nature that the machteres is going to kill you. Whereas the Torah is recognizing and positing there's an assumption about human nature. This is the assumed human nature that a person who breaks in is willing to kill, and the Torah is endorsing that assumption of human nature, saying it has the status of a chazaka, as a halachic assumption. And the assumed psychology of human beings is that this is what's happening. And the Torah, it's not just the gzeiras hakasav, that machteres equals ein adamim. But it's saying machteres, the Torah is positing a universal psychology of machteres. And there's a chazaka that a machteres is going to kill. Okay? But a chazaka is saying that there's a universal human nature. Okay? The universal trend in human nature. Okay, and then you can make assumptions. Oftentimes, you make assumptions about things based on universals. But a universal trend in human nature is no weight has no value if you have positive knowledge in a particular case that it doesn't follow that universal. Universals aren't 100%. It doesn't mean a universal every single person, 100% of the people in the world have it. It just means it's sufficient enough to say that this is the universal. I mean, this is the assumption. You have a right to assume it. Like every chazaka. Does it mean it's impossible to break a chazaka? It's impossible. But it means it's sufficiently convincing. Halacha says it's a chazaka. This is your assumption. But it's not. It's an assumption about human nature. Now, that means that in absence of any knowledge about the guy, then this is the standard human psychology, this is the halachic assumption. But when you have knowledge about a particular, when you have particular knowledge, then there's no room to get into universal assumptions. You don't say... You say most people do X, Y, Z, you know, but this guy isn't. So most people is a good thing to use when you don't know the guy. You don't have any particular knowledge, so then basically you resort to the human assumption. But once you have in Baruch HaShemesh, if it's clear to you, if it's not clear, you just have a hunch, then you could assume the chazaka, assume the normal human nature. But once you have 100% knowledge, you know that he is he's your best buddy and he's definitely not going to kill you, okay? If you know that, so then the chazaka is worthless. There's no room for the chazaka because chazaka is positing an assumption about human nature. So that applies where you don't have any knowledge to the contrary. But if you have knowledge to the contrary, you'll say this guy must be the one exception to the rule. So, Zara Shemesh is telling you that when the Torah posits that a machtar is an ein lo damim, don't think it's just a gzeiras hakasav, just a halachic positive axiom, and that there's a reason for it, but it's a halachic axiom. Rather, the Torah is positing a chazaka about human nature, and therefore it's saying it lends itself to overturning with Zara Shemesh alav. Imzarcha Shemesh alav, damin lo. But yeah, da ain lo damin. That's the normal assumption. But if you have knowledge, in particular, then it undermines that. Then it undermines that. So the difference is, according to the first, the two brises now. So according to the first brisa, the Torah in Machteres is positing a profile of a Machteres. There's two profiles of Machteres, two types of Machtereses. Okay, there's Machteres who's a killer, and Machteres not a killer. And it says, if you know that he's this profile, that's recognized. If you know that he's a killer, Machteres, you got him. The second one is saying, no, there's no two profiles. The Torah is positing a chazaka about human nature. There's a chazaka about human nature. Now, it's true, it's building in an escape. It's building in an exception, a mechanism for exception, because it's just an assumption about human nature. But it's positing a singular human nature, a singular universal human nature that Machteres is going to kill. So which one is it? Is the Torah is holding that there's really two kinds of Machteres guys, and therefore you have to have certainty to resolve that he's Machteres A and not Machteres B? Or is the Torah positing that there's really one Machteres, one profile of Machteres, and the only way you get out of it is if you have particular knowledge that the guy's a different guy? They're two different things. Now, it's not our job to figure out what we think the psychology is. We have to see from the Pesukim. The Pesukim posit what psychology is recognized halachically. But they're giving us mixed messages, and they can't both be right. If Imzarcha Shemesh is going on the first part, then it's saying is when you assume that he's killing, that's only if you know for sure. So there's two profiles, you have to know for sure. But Imzarcha Shemesh is going on the other one, it says if you know for sure, that's an exception mechanism, that if you know for sure. So that's what it's saying, it's a sira. It's an absolute sira. Can't both be true. That if you didn't have the pasuk Mizrach Hashem in the second shot, if you didn't have the pasuk Mizrach Hashem Shalav, you wouldn't say it's a chazaka. You just say, it says, Machteres, you don't say a ganav, ein odamim. So it means, Machteres is ein odamim. Torah is just saying, it's Machteres, ein odamim. And why? The why would be because of because most people are doing this, you know. But it's not because, like, we're actually saying the guy is gonna kill. So you know he's not gonna, but categorically, this is what Machteres is. Machteres is ein odam, categorically. The reason is because of the 99.9% guys. This guy's an exception, tough break. This is a categorical thing. But by saying Zarach HaShemesh Lov, it throws it into the realm of assessing his psychology. If it's clear to you, so you must mean when it said Machteres ein odamim, it was based upon an assumption of chazaka. Then you're right. If it's a chazaka, then if you know the opposite, you know the opposite. Yeah. Then I think chazaka is in general. If you know the opposite, you know the opposite. A guy is chazaka kashas. A guy, you have a right to assume a guy is going to follow halacha. A guy is going to serve you kosher food. You know, he keeps kosher. You have a right to assume. You know, if you know the contrary, you can't say that. I mean, it doesn't. Right, once you know the kind of chazaka is, you know, but you would say, how many rubies is not a chazaka? How do you know it's a chazaka? It just says, the machteres, you don't say, ganav ein ladamim, period. You know, that's what you would have said. But we're I'm just defining. I mean, at this stage, we're not giving why you'd say one or why you'd say the other. Because it's not like anyone's actually holding one or holding the other. We're just defining the braisa. Braisa A is saying one idea, braisa B is saying the other idea. These are contradictory ideas. Either idea is plausible. There's nothing illogical about either idea. If you had only one of them, you'd say that's far. You'd follow the pasuk, but the braisa, you have both of them, that can't be. Now we have to find the resolution. How could it be that they have two braisas saying opposite things? Apparently it's not brought down as machlokas. They're just brought down as just straight braisas without any argument. So you don't want to say that these are arguing. You know, you don't just posit that there's an argument here, so we want to find the resolution. Okay, good. So now we're up to the resolution, right? Lo kasha. Lo kasha. Kan be'av al ben, kan ben alav. So it depends. So Rashi. Just the av al ben. So father to son. B'machteres, right? B'machteres. If a father breaks into his son's home, misafek al yargeyu. If you're in doubt, al yargeyu b'no. If the son is in doubt, he's not allowed to kill his father. Devadai rachmei ha'av al b'no. Because certainly the father has compassion on his son. V'afilu matzum emono. And even if the son tries to save his money, lo yargeyu. The father is not going to kill him. Hilkach tamim lo. Therefore, he has life. Ad sheyodei alecha keshemesh. Until it's clear cut to you, like the son, shehu achzari alecha v'son acha. That he is cruel to you and he hates you. Okay? If you know that he's cruel to you and he hates you, then you could say this father is abnormal. But if it's a father, the stam assumption by a father is you assume he's going to kill. He's not going to kill. But, ben ala'av, ekoljikein inish da'alma, but by the son, if the son is breaking in to his father's house, or certainly anyone, but a stranger is breaking in, again, misafik. You kill him without any knowledge and a doubt. Devadei da idalchi yosaka. Certainly, he's coming in this for this mind. He comes lay ba'ape katolcha. That if you encounter him, he's going to kill you. Adjedelcha k'shemesh. Until you know clear cut, jirachmani alecha kaval ben. Until you know with certainty that he has compassion on you like a father to a son.
Why does he use
any
just a person?
But it could be Rashi says the Gemara says Ben Alav is to show you even Ben Alav, you know, even by Ben Alav, certainly by a stranger. As I said, certainly by a stranger. But the Gemara, that's what Rashi is saying. It's like the Gemara wants to show you, father son doesn't just mean that they're close, that they're relatives. You know what I mean? Father son means specifically father son. That's the only time you could assume it. But son father, and of course anybody else, showing you the extent of the thing. Father son doesn't just mean anyone, you know, close people are close. It's specifically father son. Right, like a pasuk, rachem av albanim. Like a father's compassion for a son. I mean, there's a phenomenon like that. It's not, I mean, it's true. For sons like their fathers, but they also sometimes want to kill them. So what happens now? So what's the resolution here? Okay, so that's the pshat. So what's the resolution here about what the Torah is doing? So what's the resolution of these two braisos, right? Okay, so maybe just pull it all together. The Torah is positing that there are two profiles of machtaras. Okay, there are two profiles. There's a profile of Machteris who's going to kill, and there's a profile of Machteris who's not going to kill. Okay? That's the first thing. There are two profiles. And the Torah is also, that's one thing that's happening here. But now, the Torah is not just saying that, the Torah is also positing chazakas. The thing is that there's a chazaka, that a regular guy is the profile of killing, and there's a chazaka that the father is the profile of not killing. Okay? Which means that there's a chazaka that a father is a rachman, the father has compassion on his kid, and therefore he's machteras non-violent machteras guy, right? And there's a profile of a different guy, of another guy who's breaking in, knowing that you're gonna confront him, that the chazaka is that he's a killing guy. That's his chazaka. Okay, so even though there are two profiles, it's not like every guy is just up in the air, which profile is he? But there's a chazaka about human nature. There are two classes within human nature. There's the chazaka about regular people who do machtaras, and there's chazaka about fathers who do machtaras. Because fathers are assumed universally to be in the class of peaceful machtarases,
and anyone else is assumed universally to be in the class of violent machbarashes. And but there, it's all chazakas. So therefore, if you have knowledge in particular about a father that he's violent, or if you have knowledge about a regular guy that he's peaceful, so then that means they're in another profile. So, or for instance, if you have knowledge that a father fits the profile of a regular guy, so then he goes into the other camp, and then you kill him. If you have knowledge that a regular guy fits the profile of the father, he breaks his regular profile, but he has the compassion like a father, so then he'll go into the father camp. They're setting up two different profiles of the thing, and it's telling you the assumed status of both classes of people, fathers and everyone else. No, but again, still, since it's all chazakas, so therefore it lends itself to the exceptions. So the brisa, so the first brisa, which is setting it up as saying is that you have to be certain in order to kill him. So that's basically talking about by father. So what's saying is by father, the assumption is that he's there peacefully. He's there peacefully, and therefore it's saying is that's why the pasuk wrote it, that it lends itself to saying is you must be certain. Ein lo damim im darcha shemesh. Means that only if you know certainly, because that's all you need in order to break the chazaka, to break the father's chazaka of peace. But the lens of to reading the other way also is that in Zoha Hashem Shalav Domim Lo means that the regular guy's chazaka is that he's going to kill you, and therefore if you know for sure, then it's then he breaks out of that category and he enters into the category of like a father. You know, and it's good actually that the psukim are really broken up the way the standard case. The father is like the psukim aren't broken up that way. Standard break of the psukim, the way pasuk break, is Mzorashon Adamim Lo, is like the second brisa. So that's the standard halacha. The Torah wrote it in a way that it lends itself to being read the other way, to show you that even though the Torah is setting up a chazaka of human nature, it's also recognizing a categorical exception, which is father. And father is not an across the board exception, but father has the opposite assumption, the opposite chazaka. That's what it's doing by the father. It's saying father is a recognized exception to the universal. Okay, there's a universal that people are willing to kill, the universal assumption. Father is an exception. Okay, there is an exception where his chazaka is exactly the opposite. Okay, but even the father isn't, it's not a rule that it can't be the other way, it's just that's a chazaka, the opposite chazaka. It's interesting, it says the father has to be that you know that he's achzari alecha v'sonacha, that he's cruel to you and he hates you. Right? Why do you have to have that?
I guess you have to take it from the chazaka, and you know that from a quality.
Exactly. You can't just say, "I know he's going to kill me," because no, there's a chazaka that there's rachmanas. The father has rachmanas. That's what he says. Devad rachmei aval ben. So there's a human trait of rachmanas, of compassion. If he's cruel to you and he hates you, so that's indication that he doesn't have that rachmanas. He's cruel. Cruel means he's like. So the I think the Rav said also achzar is like. It means cruel, but it comes from achzar. It means but a stranger. Okay, so it means like a guy who's cruel is like everyone's a stranger. He's just like, so he dissociates himself from you. The fact the father's cruel to you means he doesn't have rachmanis. Yeah? But compassion and cruelty are like opposites. So, since there's a chazaka, in order to undermine it, he has to exhibit the opposite quality. But just to say, I know he's going to kill. Yeah, it's very nice you know that. You think that. Every kid thinks their father's going to kill them, you know. But that's just because you feel that way. But you have to prove it by exhibiting the opposite quality, because otherwise an assumption of rachmanis, and the assumption of rachmanis is gonna prevail. But once you see that he hates you and he's cruel to you, so that exhibits you can't be cruel to somebody with rachmanis on. The cruelty is like means that you totally broken your as a tie to him. So he's just like a regular guy. Once he's cruel to you, he's like a regular guy to you. Now he falls into the other chazaka. Originally, this is a little more complicated, but if you want to follow this. But originally, when we had the one, well, the first brisa, right? So he said is that you kill a guy if you know for sure, okay? So then you'd say it means that there's two profiles, okay? Two profiles of a maftara, and you only kill him if you know for sure that he's in this profile, right? We didn't say that it's positing. We didn't say it's saying is that the universal chazaka is that people aren't going to kill you,
And if you know for sure, then you kill. Because then, what do you mean if you know? Then it's just a subjective thing. Right? So what do you mean, just if you know for sure he's going to kill you? What kind of, that's, then just the sort of thing. You know, Torah's not recognizing some, any subjective thing. So we had to say that it means no, is that Torah's recognizing two profiles. And therefore, if you know for sure, then you could say he's a profile of who's going to kill you. But once we say from the second Braisa that really there's a universal human nature that, you know, that a guy, that the chazaka, the universal chazaka is that the guy that most people are going to kill. So then by the father, Even though there's universal, you can say it's universal, it sounds like I was saying, it's universally fathers don't kill. But once you subject, even though it's subjective, you subjectively know, since there's already a pre-existing category of the universal guy who is going to kill, so therefore this, you could subjectively put the, throw the father into the other class. You know what I mean? And the father will be, he basically is a father who doesn't act like a father, so then he just becomes like a regular guy. You know what I mean? So, like, once there, you could say that once there is a class of people who just will kill, there's already a universal class like that. It's just that fathers are exempted from it. Once you see he's a father who's not really a father, then he falls into that universal class. But if when we originally had it, there was no universal class, there was only one Bryce, and then you're just saying, if I know for sure that if there was universal class, people aren't going to kill you, you can't say, I know for sure he's not going to. Then it's just some subjective thing. So it wouldn't be recognized. So it's not exactly parallel. I mean, you have to think it over. But I don't think it's a problem that it's not. It doesn't have to run exactly parallel. It's just, what we were doing is that we were originally saying that if you had Brisa 1, what would you say? If you had Brisa 2, what would you say? It doesn't mean, like, the Brisas don't say the Svaros. The Brisas are just saying the facts. The facts are, if it's certainty or not certainty, I mean, you look at the facts. They're not saying all the Svaros. It's just that if you only had one, you'd have to come up with a Svara. And this is the Svara, that was the only Svara which made sense. And then Sabai's 2, that Svara would make sense. But when you throw them together, you don't have to just shove the Svaras together. It doesn't lend itself to that. Rashi's not talking like that. But it's saying is the Torah wrote both of them, and the Brisas wrote both of them, because they're talking about different cases. So therefore, you have to interpret it in a way which lends itself to them being both true, simultaneously. So this is the smoothest way to do it. You don't have to, like, patchwork. You have to patchwork the facts. The two facts are exactly the same. But the Svaras are, you know, the Svara which was a good Svara if it was the only thing isn't necessarily what's a good Svara if it's the, you know, coexisting with another thing. Okay, if you follow, if you don't follow that, don't let it go. Yeah. Okay, so next we'll go further in the Gemara about Shabbos, whether you could do Machteras on Shabbos. Could you kill him on Shabbos? Because the halacha is Bezdin can't kill on Shabbos. So the question is the rabbi, could Machteras guy kill on Shabbos? So the answer is yes. Right, that's what you're thinking about. But it's a Havmina. Maybe. Maybe, I'm not sure. So, but it's a limud. If you didn't have a limud, you would have said you can't. So it's not so simple. Not so simple. You think it's simple. Sounds simple. But it's not so simple. You need a limud. So let's take that up. 1 second. I have a source for that. So I think in order to do this, you have to get into a little bit about why can't you kill on Shabbos? Why can't Bezin kill on Shabbos? Like, what's the deal with that? Right? I mean, otherwise, how are you going to know whether that should apply here? It just doesn't apply here. So, in order to do that, I mean, otherwise, it's kind of a guy in the guessing. How are you supposed to know? So, there's a Sefer Chinuch. Sefer Chinuch on the, I think it's the end of the first volume, but it's on the mitzvah, don't kill on Shabbos. It's like Parshas Vayakel, I think. Shabbos means don't light a fire. So then one of the guys learned it means don't light a fire because they kill some people by lighting a fire, strafe, whatever, one of the methods of killing. So that's what he learned now. So it's on, I think it's on that pasuk. It's in Vayakel, I think. So it's the chinuch. I don't know exactly what mitzvah, but you'll find it. You can also look at the Rambam. Look where the Rambam has it. Look what parak the Rambam has it in. Can't remember which one it is, though. Aware of that, but it's one of the 613 mitzvahs that you can't, Bezin can't kill on Shabbos. Okay, it's in the Kasser, it's Rav Mazin. Hilchos Shabbos has a few, four mitzvahs. One is you have to rest on Shabbos, otherwise you can't do malacha on Shabbos, but five mitzvahs. The other is you can't punish on Shabbos, you can't go outside of the Tchum, and you have to say Kiddush. So you can't punish on Shabbos is one of the mitzvahs on Shabbos. So where is it in the Rambam? It's in Perek. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's in the Rambam. Perek Chav Dalet Halacha Zayin. Chav Dalet Zayin in the Mishnah Torah in Hilchos Shabbos. Okay. I mean, look at the context though. Look at the parak. Look where he puts it. It's kind of funny. It's funny. It's like a funny halacha. Why can't Bezdin kill on Shabbos? You know, it's like a why question, but it's hard to. If you're just doing why, fine. Why? I don't know. But now the question is, does that carry over to Machteres or not? So, if you don't have any sense to that, it's hard to start wondering whether it should carry to Machteres or not. You have that. Separate lab. You can look also at the Ram Sefer Mitzvos. I remember he talks a little bit also, I think. I forget where it is. But he talks also a little bit there. Yeah, and then the next question is on Damim Lo also being Bechol. The next thing after that, there's another one. Damim Lo is, you'll see, it's further. Just keep going. We're going straight now.
In the Gemara?
Yeah, in the Gemara. So the Gemara we're up to is, we're starting with tomorrow. I guess will be Tana Rabbanan, Damim Lo. All right? Damim Lo, sixth line on Embez and Bez. So there's that one, about the killing on Shabbos, and then there's the next one also. Because the next one. You'll see. Till the next time I want to basically. Okay? Alrighty.